This is recording.
You are clear to launch, Mr. President.
Recording in progress.
I'd like to call to order this special meeting of the Board of Directors, Georgetown Divide Public Utility District on Monday, June 19th at 11 a.m. At this point, I'd like to take roll call.
All right, Director Stovall.
Present.
Director Saunders.
Present.
Treasurer Thornborough.
Here.
Vice President Seaman.
Here.
And President McDonald.
Here. Mr. Saunders, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Saunders, Director Saunders. Can I get a motion to adopt the agenda today?
Motion to adopt the agenda. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, 5-0.
You do have a hand raise on the internet.
All right.
Can we have 530-333-0733. Can we have your name so we can put it in for the record, please?
Curry. I don't want to do the agenda the next one. Sorry, I did it too soon.
Oh, you're okay. We'll let you in for the next one. Thank you for that.
Okay. Agenda passes 5-0. Public forum. Pursuant to the Government Code, Section 54954.3, the Brown Act, members of the public shall be afforded the opportunity to speak on any agenda item. The board president will call for public comment on each agenda item. Those wishing to address the board on a matter that is not on the agenda and within the jurisdictional authority of the district may do so during the public forum portion of this agenda. Follow the procedures for speaking during public forum or public comment sessions. Public members desiring to provide comments must raise their hand and wait to be recognized by the board president, speak from the podium, and begin by stating their name. If participating via teleconference, please utilize the raise your hand feature. The president will call upon you by addressing you by name or by phone number indicated. Comments will be directed only to the board. Disruptive comments shall not be permitted at any board meeting. Persistence in disruptive comments shall be grounds for summary termination of the privilege to address the board of directors. A 3-minute time limit per person, per speaker, or 15 minutes total. The board is not permitted to take action on items addressed under the public forum, and the board president is responsible for maintaining an orderly meeting. At this point, I would like to...
If I can have just 1 minute. I just would like to address a previous public comment that was made. All of the RFPs and requests and proposals for legal services were posted on the website this morning. So those are up for anybody to review. And we have been in contact with the new law firm, and we are working on the professional services agreement so that the board is aware and the public is aware of the process that we went through.
Thank you. From the public, Mr. Miller.
When we get to the discussion,
hello.
We have somebody in the room who's giving comment.
Chairman Miller's giving comment. Yep.
When you consider my responsibilities, my duties, and my position, I would like to, during the discussion of the budget, be considered a member of the participating group, not a member of the audience. So when I raise my hand, I'd like to go in the order of all of the people that raise their hands in discussing of the budget, because in the last meeting, you folks had an awful lot to say to each other, and I had things to participate with, but because I was sitting in the audience, I was considered audience. Mm-hmm. And for this matter, I don't think I am audience. I think I'm an active part of the discussion and the solutions and the results of what we discuss. Mm-hmm. If you can't bring yourself to do that, I'm not sure I even need to be here.
Thank you for your comment, Mr. Miller. Cherie, do you have a comment?
Yes. I try calling into the meeting by the phone number that is on the agenda, 1699 starts with, and that's not a proper phone number. So I went back and 613 and it has 699. It actually should be 669. And that also happened on that special closed meeting on March 6th. Had the wrong phone number on it. So anyway, just to alert that anybody that's going off of this agenda trying to call in won't be able to. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you were able to figure it out to get to this meeting today. Thanks. Any other public comment? Okay. Next we'll deal with action item number 4A, consider the option adoption of the final budget, operating budget, and capital improvement plan. Possible action would be to adopt this resolution approving the budget and approving the capital improvement plan.
Give me 1 minute, we're just going to pull up the budget report so we can go through it. Cherie, I see your hand is still raised. Are you, is that a hanger on? Thank you. Oh, okay, so we are sharing the screen. We're not going to do a PowerPoint today, but I thought we'd go page by page through the budget report, address any questions as they arise. From the board, if you would also like to take comment from Chairman Miller and the public at that time, whenever we...
I would.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
So, we'll skip the table of contents, go to the overview. Not much has been changed here since previous years or previous budgets. I did add one thing in here that was the amount of square miles that we hold here, so that was the only thing I added here. The organizational chart will change ever so slightly to add 2 lead positions here in the operations department. This is going to help with longevity of future employees, giving a path forward, and then the addition of this position right here as a water treatment operator number 2. Okay, as we move forward, we have employee salaries. Oh, this isn't the right one. Okay, where is it? Hold on, we added some information here. I don't know how to do it, so. Sorry about that. Okay, so we have organizational chart again, adding 2 lead employees and adding the water treatment operator too. President McDonald, I see that Sherry has raised her hand. If I would like to see if she'd like to ask a question about where we've been so far, so we can keep this moving. So,
Sherry, you go ahead, please, Sherry. Is the phone off?
Sherry, you're muted if you're talking.
There you go.
Sorry. I noticed that 3 or 4 years ago when Steve Palmer created the field superintendent, it was supposed to eliminate the lead distribution operator. And I questioned him at that time, so then why are you leaving it in the org chart? But it wasn't in the org chart, it was just in just sitting there. So now I see you have lead canal operator. Is that an existing position in the MOU?
Yes.
Okay, so you actually took one worker from the previous org chart and created these two lead ones without creating new positions?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So just to clarify it, it's the lead is just need to be renamed.
Correct.
In the employee job description.
That is correct. We don't have one yet, so we don't have it on that sheet, but it's the numbers are in the budget, so yes.
So there's no increase in pay, it's just...
It's a 5%, just a normal 5% like raise. It's a promotion, excuse me. So this is the salary chart through being request of the public. We included the 22-23 salaries, and we included the proposed 23-24. Now, these are not set in stone. The only thing that is set in stone is a 4% COLA increase that happens as a result of the MOUs. That is basically set on the government, federal government COLAs. Federal government COLAs this year are 5.4%. The MOU maxes out at 4%. So some of the salaries only go up 4%. Some of them go up slightly higher, and that is because they also would have the potential for making a step increase. Now, all step increases at the district are merit-based, so there is no guarantee. If you are not doing your job, you will not get your step increase. However, if you are doing a satisfactory job, then you will make your step increase.
Thank you for that clarification.
We have the operating revenue. You can see that the water revenue is heavily driven by residential treated water sales. We have also additional irrigation water sales, and we have penalties. As we move forward, our non-operating revenue is heavily driven by property taxes. We also receive funding from the Sacramento Municipal Utilities District, also known as SMUD. Did you have a question, Cherie? Yes, I noticed you have your hand raised and you came off mute.
Before you get out of revenue.
Yes, okay. Operating revenue or non-operating? Do you want to just at the end?
The whole revenue budget.
Understood. We also receive interest, leases, and hydroelectric. These are kind of miscellaneous extra things that we have. We did increase the interest from previous years due to the investment market being much more favorably than it has in the past. Leases are when we rent property or areas so that companies can provide towers or other facilities to the community, and they need a location for that. And the hydroelectric is the percent portion of the hydroelectric generation for the district. So... Yes.
When are we? That's supposed to be turned over to us sometime.
It's 25, 20, 20, one is 25 and one is 26.
Okay. And so, we'll own the whole thing.
I'm so sorry?
And we'll own the whole thing?
Correct.
And we'll get all the revenue from it.
That is correct. We'll have to probably add a position for somebody to maintain that. Right. But yes, it's a sizable increase to the budget. Not the budget, the revenue.
Okay. Thank you.
I apologize.
You have ballpark?
What's that?
You have ballpark?
A million?
Okay.
I would have to do a lot
each?
More.
Right now, the revenue is about 15% of what they're generating. We get 15%.
Oh, okay.
And we get 50 grand or so per year. So,
is that for both of them or each?
That is for both of them currently.
Okay.
But we're also doing some... planning to add in these additional water wheels, and so that position will not just maintain these two hydros, they're going to maintain hydros throughout the district. So we would, if we put one at Stumpy, you know, those would all be under the same position. Yes, sir.
Are we involved in a cooperative agreement in that generation of power?
So basically it was a 20-year they paid to build the facility, and then the contract was they would own it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And after the 20 years, it reverts back to the district. So they're able to run it and give us a percentage of the power and the generation costs,
yes.
the money, And then ultimately that comes back to us after the 20-year contract.
After the 20 years, are we engaged in a cooperative agreement in generating or sharing that?
I'm not sure. Are we cooperating with whom?
With other agencies.
No, it is us, solely us.
Solely us. So correct. Solely us would get the job.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And 15%, so 85%, the other 85 would come to us, which is about another 300 grand.
Correct.
You said a million, but...
333, to be
exact. I think I'll have to do some research. It's about, how many kilowatts is it? So 1,000?
I'm not sure.
Let us do some research.
Sure.
Yeah. It hasn't been something that we've put a whole lot of, I haven't put a whole lot of time into, I guess.
So, does that number move? Like, in this case, you know, we've got more water flowing through that.
Anytime you're putting more water through it, it's going to be higher, yes.
Okay, so this year we potentially could be getting more than the 50,000.
This year is actually less.
It's less because of the fire stop. We had to shut the water off and there was a decreased flow. So in a good year, in a typical year, if we had this much more water, yes, you would get more. However, we do not this year. And we also generate more when irrigation season is going on because we're pushing more water. So that is the one time we do generate more power.
Right. So this part, since we're pushing more water up until June 30th, I'm assuming the contract is like July 1st.
Yes.
So we've pushed more water. So what we've cut off, we may have picked up.
Not really. We lost almost 50%. It was a heavy loss, and it's actually part of our litigation with PG&E.
Because of the fire.
Because of the silting that was in the ditch,
right.
The flow of water was not able to move, and we had to reduce the amount. Plus, anytime we shut the system down to clean or to do any kind of work, then we're losing time there too as well. Did you want to add anything, Adam?
Yeah, so we have two of them, right? We have Tunnel Hill and Buckeye. So the Tunnel Hill basically can't run nearly as much. If you have any, the water's turbid, you can't run it. It ruins the point it's going through, the generation. So we can't really run it when it's that turbid. So we lost quite a bit, not only from the fire and from just recent storms. The Buckeye one can continue to run generally because it still comes out at Walton Lake and it's typically pretty clear by the time it gets down there. So yeah, we didn't run nearly as much this year as, especially Tunnel Hill, everyone, as normal years.
Okay, and then grant revenue, we're anticipating or hoping to receive approximately $3.2 million. That is, will help fund CIP projects. We haven't been guaranteed at all but $80,000 in our grants. However, these will all be realized during the fiscal year if we do receive them, so we wanted to make sure we included the potential for that to be there. Supplemental charge, I know this brought up some issues in the last meeting, so we have moved the supplemental charge in the categories down to the other section that is also part of the grants. So this is not included in the actual operating revenue anymore. And then wastewater is also known as our zone. This will probably change through the year as our WDR changes. So here's our spreadsheet, and you'll notice that the supplemental charge has been moved down to here, so it no longer is included in the total water revenue. I would be happy to be stopped here. I know there was a question from Cherie, if we would like to take that question, or from the board first.
Any board comment or question? Dr. Saunders? No? Okay. Cherie, go ahead.
I compared, that the supplemental charge did get moved, but if you compare the budget that we got last week, the ending total was 10,113,272, and we're at 9,410,272. So it appears it's not gotten added into the total revenue.
Oh, it could be just a formula error. That's a good catch. It shouldn't change the ultimate outcome of the budget. It just changes the spreadsheet, so we can update that. Thank you for that catch.
Well, that is the budget, the spreadsheet you have here. So then I have a question on the wastewater. Why is there a big difference in zone charges for projected and proposed? You're at 207 projected, and this next year, 185 like the previous year.
We have a rate study and a WDR that we're paying for in there as well.
So that's what's added in. Okay. Thanks.
So we come to source of supply. The only thing that was changed since the last time we went through and redid the payroll taxes, this was a catch by a review by the board. Our payroll taxes were very low, and we wanted to increase. We utilized 9.5%, which is the industry standard for payroll taxes, and that is about where they came in this year. So that number did increase, and then I actually caught another formula error that this $6,600 here was originally $10,485 for PPE and safety equipment. It had been linked to an incorrect box, so that was reduced down to $6,600. Do we have any questions about $5,100?
I'm going to ask a question. Of course. Pretty naive, but payroll tax.
Yes.
How was that compared to in civilian? What kind of a tax is that?
It's all the taxes that we have to pay as an employer. It's the same as private or public. Mm-hmm. They're all to the same. The government tells us generally what we have to pay, and so this is our portion to Medicare, our portion to Social Security, our portion to FICA, all the different pieces. It's what the
district. Okay, so you're lumping it together.
Correct.
Because I'm for FICA 7.65% and Medicare 1.2%. Yes. So if you add all those up, that's what you get.
It's 9.3% is what the average is, and we utilize 9.5% just to be safe in the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Was there another question?
Yes.
Sorry, I can't see your hand.
did we get squared away? Because before the payroll taxes, we kept getting a separate charge because it wasn't being calculated right the first time. So has that changed?
I would
and
have
then we changed companies, so that may have.
ADP does that. It all themselves. So they tell us what we owe.
Yes, yeah, so last time we were getting, it wasn't getting charged, and we were getting an extra each time. So
I don't believe we're getting.
Probably why they switched to ADP.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Cherie's hand is an old hand or a new hand.
Is it a new hand, Cherie?
No.
Was that a no?
Sorry. I don't know. The comment you made to her, I was like.
Thank you, Cherie. Steven, I saw you waving at us. Is that just you waving, or was there a hand earlier? Okay, got you.
Okay. If there's no more questions from the board or comments. Go ahead, Nick.
So $5,200, this is generally referred to as, I would think of this as our irrigation service, our raw water service. So this is the transmission of raw water. Again, the only change that was made between this presentation and the last presentation was the payroll taxes were slightly increased. So I can stop here and see if there's any other questions about this budget.
Directors? No. Public? No. Go ahead, Nicholas.
Great, thank you. $5,300, this is our water treatment. So this is did you have a question? Or?
No, I was just wondering, no, in my mind I did, but I didn't put my hand up. But
okay.
I'll ask it while I can, since you're hitting it. We had talked about checking into what the costs were for the lab. Was it doubled up or not, because you had such a high number and then a low number. You're going to see if it was accumulation, because you had it where it was, God, I don't remember what the hell it was when we were talking.
I can show you the detail report if you would like to remember. Let me just
go on.
Is it for water treatment? Is that the one you were?
It was all the ones we looked at all of them.
Yes. Let me go through this, and I'll pull up the actual detail of the different things, okay. And then you can, maybe that jogs your memory. So again, just payroll taxes, and then we actually readdressed the health insurance here for this one department. It didn't change much, just wanted to make sure we denoted that. Director Thornborough, I see that you had a question, maybe?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you raised your hand, I apologize. Okay, so the detail of this one is right, hold on, 5,300, and the detail is right here. So let me just get rid of this here. So,
because this one is the low, that was 2,200, but yep. Then you had another one that was listed at like 14,000 or
so. That's 000. This one here. That's 5,400, and that are the we do back tees throughout the service area, yep, all the time, and so that's 6,250. I think I know what you're talking about. And that's we did remove that one.
Okay.
So that's in 5,600, this is the one that got removed. And I'll get there. I was okay. Getting there in a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did have it in there twice. Yeah. So I'll explain that in 1 minute. I want to make sure I see people raise their hand. Okay, go back to this right here. Okay, so moving into 5,400, this is a transmission of treated water. So this is anything that has to do with, you know, the getting treated water to a residential house or a commercial building. No changes here except for the payroll taxes. Was there any questions from anybody? Okay. Moving into 5,600. So again, the payroll taxes were changed, and then to address the comment from Director Seaman, we actually caught in a review by the board. I met with two of the directors here in the office. They were going over all of the line items with a fine-tooth comb, and they caught a duplicate charge. One was charged in 5,600, and it was also charged in 6,100. So it was for groundwater monitoring. And that is a charge that comes out of 6,100. So we removed it from the 5,600. It was a charge of $10,250 from 5,600, and it remained in the zone charge in 6,100. So that was a good catch. And then that's all the changes there. Was there any questions for 5,600?
Doesn't look like.
Excellent. Going into zone, now this has been the hardest one to budget, because we may or may not have this the same in the future. So we again increased or fixed the payroll taxes. We also fixed a little bit of an issue with the health insurance. It wasn't a huge change, just addressed the health insurance need there. And then again, that change, it didn't change the original budget here for the $10,000, but it did remain in this budget. So it's part of the professional services in this budget. Was there any questions for 6,100? Okay. Moving toward the consolidated expenses, we can stop here for 1 minute if you like, and see if there's any questions here. Okay. Moving into capital improvement plans, capital improvement projects, at the request of the board, we did take the vehicle replacements and do some line item approximate budgeting for that. We are looking at a dump truck. This would be a 10-wheel dump truck, and this would be a used model of less than approximately $75,000. If we can't find one for that cost, then we will reassess, and I will bring that back to the board at that time. My thought is to utilize local auction sites, local equipment resellers, so that we can produce something that we can utilize here at the district and still be compliant with all the new regulations. We would then surplus the smaller dump truck that we have now and hopefully recoup some of our investment. Previously, we discussed the switching of a utility truck. And I'll have Adam, if you can explain the different numbers, because I know you know this a lot better than I do, but we want to switch one from one department to another and then replace it for one that tows a little heavier. So Adam, maybe could you talk about that one?
Yeah, so our F-350 is one to move that to the maintenance side of the district and purchase a 4,500 truck for distribution.
It has to do with the back trailer that gets pulled, and that's quite a heavy trailer, so it's just putting a lot of wear and tear on that F-350, and we just like to have something a little heavier duty. And again, we're gonna try to pursue a used, maybe 1 or 2 year old vehicle to do that. We have budgeted approximately $75,000 for that, and I'll bring that to the board once we find something that is a suitable purchase. Also, at the behest of the board, well, I guess we are looking to replace up to 3 of the half-ton pickup trucks, and I have a list that we added to the end of this budget report that does a vehicle inventory and mileage and replacement dates that we would like to utilize, and I'll get to that in 1 minute. We do have the grants. This is where the $3.2 million comes in. You'll notice that it doesn't quite equal $3.2 million here. I'm also including this $1.5 million here. There is a chance that it comes in this fiscal year. There is a chance that it comes in next fiscal year. We don't know. It's up to the federal government. But we have to include that as part of this year's budget, just in case we need to move on that quickly. Okay, and if we move forward, this is the new employee matrix. Employee vehicle matrix. It's sideways, so hard to read. But what we did was we listed out all the vehicles. We did them by oldest to newest. And you'll notice here we have also included what is called the GSA, or Government Services Agency. That is their recommendations for replacement years on these vehicles. So they recommend any gas-powered vehicle to be replaced after 7 years or 65,000 miles, whichever happens first. For medium duty, what did that say? 10 years or 150,000 miles, and heavy duty would be 12 years or 250,000 miles. This is a proposal that I have that I'm going to work with the policy committee on. I don't want to, those are very restrictive, I think, for the district and for the financial impact that it could have on this district. I am proposing to utilize these mileages. This is not something that's going to be approved today, but this is just something that we are proposing here as staff for the gas models to be 7 years or 100,000 miles, 10 years or 200,000 miles for medium duty, and then 12 years or 300,000 for heavy duty. This will, again, like I stated, I will work with the policy committee to develop a vehicle replacement policy so that we can have these a little bit less restrictive replacement mileages. The top is the trucks. They're all labeled what type of truck they are. So you'll notice that these are all the service trucks that are the half-ton trucks are all light trucks. Most of these are newer vehicles. And we have them as the GSA evaluation, so replace, replace, replace. You'll see whether GSA would say to keep or replace these, and then we have it done based on those proposals that we have, which is replace, replace, replace. The only one that is here is this one here.
F-150.
You can turn the document.
How do you turn it? Oh, hey now. Listen, you guys got to stop with this technology stuff. I apparently am not good at this here.
That would be F-150.
Yeah, so that would be the F-150. The vehicles we're looking to replace are the dump truck. That's the 1991 dump truck that would be replaced with the 10-wheeler. This light pickup truck here, this is... the admin vehicle currently, the one that Adam and myself have access to if we need to go out, has 125,000 miles on it. So we are looking to replace that. But however, we're not going to replace that with a brand new vehicle for us. we're going to take this vehicle down here and we're going to rotate that one into the admin department so that the guys on the outside can have the newer vehicle and they can utilize those while they're working. The other vehicle, yes ma'am.
And that would be encompassing if somebody needs to go to the post office or something, because a lot of times you guys are here.
Well, that vehicle is...
And you're only going down there.
Well, typically the admin vehicle is utilized by Adam when he takes out consultants or we go out with like the engineers, or he used it a lot during the fire to go back and forth between different locations. So that vehicle, we do need to have something here that is accessed by either myself or Adam just in case we need to get out into the field. And so that would that's when I say admin vehicle, that's what I mean by admin vehicle. Yes, it'll also be utilized to go to the post office, but that'll be much less. This vehicle here is one of the water treatment vehicles, and we would like to replace it due to age and mileage. And then this vehicle here, we'd like to replace it because it doesn't serve our purpose anymore. It is the Chevy dump truck. It's not a big enough dump to do what we need to do with it, and we'd like to utilize this one as replacement. This would hopefully get replaced with some sort of a different type of a dump truck, a smaller dump truck that we can get into tighter places, but we don't have something identified as of yet for that. And then...
Well, I thought the Top Kick was the dump truck.
Yes, we also have a light-duty dump truck. It's a 3500 dump truck.
Yeah.
And it's got a stake bed on it with a dump, and it's...
It's called flatbed here?
It's a flatbed, yeah.
Need something in the middle. Like, we need, you know... The 10-wheeler for, like, you know, big, towing the big equipment that if we get the Cal Fire, if we get, and then all the rock and gravel. But replacing that 3500 with actually a little bit heavier duty, it has more of an engine brake that still allows access to smaller roads up in this area.
We're looking at a 5500 or a 550 style dump truck. They're the low side dump trucks.
Yeah.
Something that can, because even the Top Kick can't get around everywhere, and it doesn't climb very well when it has a load. The next one is this Ford F-150. So these we're looking to replace due to mileage on this one here. And then we also have included the equipment that we have here. So we have the equipment numbers, we have the hours, and you can see how many hours these pieces of equipment have. We don't have any of these identified for replacement yet. I'm still working on developing some sort of a criteria, so this will also be part of the policy committee's recommendation. Every one of these pieces of equipment is going to have to be a different recommendation for hours. We're going to probably rely on the GSA for something like that, but we don't have any sort of criteria to add to this spreadsheet for that yet. Before I move on, yes.
Go ahead, George.
Are there any issues about replacing the non-vehicle or equipment with electric equipment?
As of right now? In the future, yes, everything has to be replaced with electric, but there's not a lot of options for these yet, so that's something
that's in the future.
In the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Nowadays, I mean, 100,000 miles years ago was a lot, but in today's engines and vehicles, 100,000 isn't that much. So are you looking at what kind of shape are these vehicles in? Because they have 100,000 miles on them, it doesn't mean they're junk, I don't think.
No, and I don't think that they're junk. The cost to maintain them does go up at about 100,000 miles. And like I said, we're trying to be less restrictive than other agencies who utilize much less miles. And so that's why we can talk about more miles. If you have a recommendation, I'd be happy to look into that and take it to the policy committee. But I was going to leave the development of that policy up to them. This is just my strictly recommendation, giving less restrictions on the mileage. I mean, if we were at GSA, you could see we had to replace a considerable portion of our fleet, and I don't think that that's something that we need to do. But then again, you have to realize that these smaller light duty trucks that get bounced around on dirt roads, you know, there's, if you're up in the upper country, those roads, those fire roads are fire roads, and that's about the best that you could call for them. Yeah. Any kind of trucking vehicle is going to get bounced around pretty good, and so they do get a little extra wear and tear. And then also you're driving up and down. We live in a very hilly terrain, and if you're pulling a trailer, you're getting extra wear and tear on those motors. So, you know, we could definitely explore higher mileages, but I'm already trying to propose a little bit higher mileage as it is.
Okay. Director Steven.
It's our way to do, instead of just higher mileages, as the cost starts going up on them, the percentage of cost versus the mileage. So, like, if you're normally only doing oil changes and fuel, well, not even fuel, but oil changes, etc. And then you start seeing you have transmission issues or rear end issues or something like that. Then when those numbers start going up, then you start considering getting it removed out of the system.
Sure.
Not just 100,000 miles or 150,000 miles.
I think that's an option, and I'll give you 1 second. I think that's an option, but I think that's a case-by-case basis.
Right, but that's what I mean. That's why we should be looking at these as a case-by-case rather than...
But I think you still have to have some sort of a... When we get it to this level, we need to start addressing the potential replacement, because we don't want to get into having to replace a transmission and being down a vehicle because we absolutely need it. The rotation of these vehicles through the system and having some sort of a set parameter is, I think, important for the district. Adam, did you want to add to that?
Yeah. Within Cartograph, we also have what's called a BRR, vehicle replacement rating, and over time that develops how many miles you put on a vehicle, how much maintenance you're putting in your vehicle. So we'd like to have that number moving forward too once we have that system. Mm-hmm. Longer implemented, I think.
Yeah, because, wow. I mean, realistically, you've got a 100,000-mile vehicle that you may have already spent how much money on it, mm-hmm. and it needs to go at 110.
Yeah.
But you have a 100,000-mile vehicle that you haven't touched at all, so keep it going until you start seeing it's flagging, and then, poof, that one needs to go. You know, I don't see I've never understood, because I've worked for the government for too many years, that they buy these vehicles and then, oh, we got to get rid of this vehicle. Well, it's only got 100,000 miles and you never touched it. Why did you get rid of it? Just because GSA said it.
Well, I completely agree. And I think I don't think I'm going to arbitrarily get rid of something because, you know, it's running. But having a parameter in place is important,
right?
Because that way you can plan for stuff and put money aside when you're going to need stuff. And that's what I'm trying to do here, is just at least plan ahead.
Yeah, just a quick recap.
You're running the meeting, remember?
Hey, you don't have to worry about
that. Hold on. I just wanted to let you know I'd like to be next, that's all.
Yeah.
50% increase in the light duty truck. Is what you're recommending, 33% on the medium duty truck and 20% on the heavy duty truck.
Yes.
Okay. Just stick.
Yeah. You just love 10%, don't you?
Well,
that's what I like to think.
They were nice round numbers, so we can address them however you want. I wanted to just basically be less restrictive than the GSA.
Yeah. Do we get less for those vehicles if we sell them used in surplus, if we then wait longer?
Yeah, I mean, just like any other kind of used vehicle, yes, the more miles you put on them, the less they're worth. Yes. But, I mean, I gave Director Thornbrough the cost earlier of a new vehicle. Mm-hmm. So it's approximately $40,000 to $50,000 for a half-ton pickup truck. And I've seen auction vehicles even as old as like our 2004 still going for 10 to 15,000, so we'll recoup some of our investment. Yes, sir.
Well, I'd like to point out that a transmission is a whole lot cheaper than a whole vehicle.
They are.
I can
absolutely
tell you that for a
fact. However, if you don't have a vehicle because the transmission is being serviced, then we have to scramble and figure out other options for people.
That's what you guys do now.
Because you're going to do 2 to 3 weeks to
yeah,
get it fixed.
Renting a half-ton pickup truck and moving tools and all that stuff makes it very cumbersome. I understand what you're saying. And I'm not saying that we're going to be buying new trucks every year. I'm just trying to come up with some sort of parameter so that we can get on a rotation, because that's not something we've had here in the past of some sort of a way to understand when they need to be serviced out.
I feel the same way that Don does, is that you don't replace something just because GSA says, oh, you need to replace it. You know, it's like you said, case by case.
Yep.
Okay.
On the other hand, I am more for replacing vehicles before we have to replace it with a much more expensive and inappropriate, in my words, electrical vehicle.
And that's one of the reasons why
we just another
inappropriate.
One of the reasons why we budgeted higher this year is to accommodate for that. So as long as we make the purchases before 2025, then we are underneath the window.
Yeah. And I say inappropriate because we've been here without power for 7 days.
17.
Well, if you have a bigger generator.
Yeah, and our generator will not charge vehicles. It's not. It's not set up.
Another point of view coming in.
Okay.
Thank you for that discussion.
Absolutely. Do I have to like switch it back now? Yes. Oh, that's the last page. So that is the last page of the budget report. I'd be happy to open it up for full questions at any point.
Director Miller.
There was a lot of discussion in our last meeting about the budget and how it was formed, and that we should use the actuals, year-to-date actuals, boosted to 12 months to see what our budget really looks like compared to what we had before. And so I went home and did that. And I'd just like to give you all a copy. And I took the numbers that we had then. I took the last month as being missing. And I used days instead of months. So I used 335 versus 365 because June is a 30-day month. Mm. So I tried to get it as accurate as I could.
Thank you.
And what it really came out to be is that the budget that we're facing is 3.5% greater than the budget we're living on. So when you consider the economy, when you consider the economy and the things that have been happening to us as individuals, as well as a community, as well as a nation, 3.5% didn't seem to be too much out of line. But I wanted to make sure that you knew that initially, we used the same process. The only difference was that we used months rather than days. So, from the beginning, the budget used current, expanded, to compare against recommended going forward.
Thank you for this, Chairman Miller. Yeah, it gives me some
to put in the basket.
Knowing that we're staying the course and managing our expenses very well. Go ahead, Dr. Stoller.
On a similar line, when I look at the revenue page, when we go back kind of the beginning, looking at the revenue, no, I'm sorry, not the revenue, when I look at employee salaries, this would be page 6, which identifies the employee salaries. And if I take out from the total the new water treatment plant operator 2, which is currently vacant, I figure there's a 6.8 increase in salaries.
And I'll also add,
that's right on with my Social Security, so I can't argue with that.
And I'll also add that our executive assistant salary was not included in last year's budget either. And so it's actually closer to 3.5%. It's we did the math. I guess it's
okay.
4.5 maybe. Comes up, yeah.
So that's just another point of context that
right.
Chairman Miller is putting into the discussion.
Yeah, I did I did show a percentage of increase on the salaries and wages page as a separate part.
Yeah, thank you.
Combine the two. So you can see that the majority of the increase was on the first page, not on the second page.
Say again?
The proportion of increase year over year is on the first page in what I gave you, not the second.
Which may I say, I think we have minimal control over as a board.
Didn't we also have an issue of we were losing people because our salaries weren't competitive?
We still are.
So increasing them might be something that we don't really have an option on unless we want to pick up 3 and 4 jobs each and go do them.
Have we got that?
We do have this, the salary survey is out, so when that comes in, there'll be a...
Plus, both MOUs are up for renegotiation, so that will also be part of that discussion as well.
And some of the stuff we've gone through is we've, you know, just basically questioned every item that was in that budget of what it is, why you need it, and finding out we can take $5,000 or $10,000 out here and there to get it down. So that also has helped.
I don't have anything else to share.
Okay. So that's it, huh? At this point, public comment.
I don't see any.
Yeah, I didn't see.
No, that's my first.
I'd like to make a general comment. When I used to work on budgets, I would kind of wait to see the 10-month year-to-date expenses, and that would give me, you take a digit off of that, and that's your average month, because you're looking at 1 month versus 10 months. In being part of this budget review for, I don't know how many budgets I have, it's close to half a dozen, I think. I appreciate the process and the revision and the thought of everybody coming in from different perspectives. There's so much, plus the public, and everyone has come in to make this a living and working document. And I appreciate the expertise, points of view, the thoroughness, the time by everybody that's gone into this. And I've said before, I appreciate the effort to get the grants to really use the outside public money to help save the ratepayers' funds and using what we can to make this a very affordable place and a wonderful place to live.
Good team effort.
Absolutely.
At this point,
I will just make one note, and I would apologize to cut you off. We will make that one adjustment of the revenue page. There's a formula, and so as it gets approved, we will make sure that gets fully added in to the bottom line number. So we'll create, it's a formula that will fix.
Yeah, when you moved it down, you didn't add.
Yeah, I did it, and I didn't even think to redo the formula, and so that's nobody's fault but my own. Can't even blame the staff for that one.
Is that your comment?
Well, that was going to be what we're going to have to remember, but now, my comment was that since we've switched and we've looked at everything monthly, we've been able to really keep tabs on all the expenses, especially when it changes during the. During the pandemic years and the increase in supply and chemicals and fuel, we were able to watch the steady increase, and that was pretty much captured as we went along. So that kind of helped in terms of having the wild, huge 20-30% forecasted increase at the end. We're able to have better increases, which were probably not as much. It was around 17% and kept us within line with what we saw. So those were things that worked out well. But the other thing that we have to look at is our revenue is kind of set in stone, so all the things we have to do in terms of out-of-the-box revenue sources is things that we have to continue to keep in our wheelbox there. So things like the making sure, like that huge thing we did with getting our interest policy up, that's going to bring back some good dividends to us and being able to use water transfers, use any VA agreements to our benefit, and any other potential benefits we can get in. So we'll continue to work on those out-of-the-box ways to maintain the rates from going too high. So.
This time, can I get a motion to adopt the resolution approving the final budget?
I'll make a motion to it with the correction.
Yes, with the correction.
I'll second.
To adopt the budget.
Motion was made by Director Seaman to adopt the final budget, seconded by Director Thornborough. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 5-0. It's unanimous. Final budget adopted 2023-24. And at this
point, can you also add capital improvement projects?
That'd be a second one, right?
Separate resolution.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then a separate motion to adopt the resolution approving the capital improvement.
I think it's all inclusive.
No.
So I make a motion to adopt capital improvement project.
Second.
Second by Director Stovall, initialed by Director Saunders. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. 5-0, approving the capital improvement plan.
Thank you.
Is this a record?
Yes.
59.
It was one item.
Oh, it's not over yet.
It's not over yet.
It's still a record.
It's one item.
Any announcements for future agenda meetings?
Wait.
I'm sorry?
Any board member requests for agenda items for the next meeting?
I just would like to add this so you all can look at. We've got a really nice article in the EDWA newsletter. I send it out to the board members, but I'm going to include it as part of the agenda for public comment, just so everybody can see. They talked about the fire response we had and cleanup efforts that we have. So just really a great article for maybe the public if they're looking at the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Since we have no other comments or recommendations or requests for future agenda items, the next meeting will be held, next regular meeting will be held on July 11, 2023 at 2 p.m. for the Georgetown Divide Public Utility District. May I get a motion to...
No, motion to adjourn.
Okay. Seconded? Oh.
Since this will be the last meeting that I attend as the chairman, I would just like to thank you all and tell you that it's been an interesting experience. Mm-hmm. It's been a learning experience, and I know that Andy will carry it on just the way that we've been carrying it on. So thank you.
But you're still going to be on the committee, right?
Yes.
I'm still on the committee.
All right.
Yeah. And thank you for this today, too. It helps us to know, you know, where we stand and what we've done. So seconded by...
Stovall.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay, now it's a record.
Anybody want a donut?
Recording.
58 minutes.